Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, lead fantasy analyst at The Score, and today's episode is presented by Subway, who now delivers so you can get back to the game. We're reacting to week six on today's show. Before we get to the injury fallout and the early look at the waiver wire options, I want to talk about some buy low, sell high candidates. And I know 2 weeks ago we went over some buy lows then. Last week I did the sell highs. We got such a positive response from those episodes. I think I might have to make this a weekly segment on the Monday show. So I'll put out my updated version of the trade value chart on Wednesday, and that gives you an approximate value for players. It's not always a one-for-one type thing, but it gives you an idea of how you could package players together, try to come up with some quality trades, and take a look, because at this time of year, there's a lot of desperate owners out there. They're not happy with their record. You can see maybe you can give them something they need in their roster at a position and get a little more value in return, or you can start to look ahead towards the fantasy playoffs and get your roster set up for that if you're one of those teams that are fortunate enough to be out in front, maybe 6-0, maybe 5-1 here. But right now, I want to look at a few players that I'm trying to buy or sell this week. And honestly, I'm going to focus mostly on wide receivers and running backs here because it's a lot harder to make trades at the one-off positions, quarterbacks, tight ends. They're kind of their own thing. So let's see if we can find some wide receivers, some running backs that you can look at or that you can look to try to sell this week. And I'll start with the buy low targets because that's the one most people want to know about. Robert Woods. Now, Woods didn't have a catch this week. He saved his game with a rushing touchdown, but it's been an overall disappointing year for him. And I think there's reason for optimism, though. 8 targets or more in 4 of his 6 games. This 49ers game was probably the toughest matchup they're going to have all year. That defensive line prevented Goff from doing anything. They were getting pressure on him all day long. So it's going to get better from here. The matchups are going to get better. Still see Woods as a low-end wide receiver too. The volume is there for him in the right matchups. Don't look at this past week. Let his owner worry about this past week and try to see if you can get him on the cheap there. Same thing with Keenan Allen. The Chargers offense, they've just been awful the last couple weeks, and he's been dragged down with them. But over his last 3 games here, stat lines, 5 for 48, 4 for 18, 2 for 33, hasn't got a touchdown during that time. But prior to that, in the first 3 games, 123 yards, 98 yards, 183 yards, and he had 3 scores over those 3 games. So investing in him at his lowest point of the year, that's how you should try to approach these things. It's just like a stock type idea, right? You want to approach a player when he's at his lowest in value, try to get him then, and then try to sell some guys when they're at their highest. I know Hunter Henry's back in that Chargers offense. He had a big game, but Mike Williams is playing hurt. We don't know if he's going to miss time at any point, if he's going to continue to be able to drag himself out there and play through it. And Allen is just so much better than his production has showed over the last few weeks here. So it's time to check in on his owner, see if you can get him on the cheap. Devin Singletary of the Bills, he was starring before this injury popped up. He missed a month with it, but looks like he's going to come back now. See if you can get him at a reduced price here before everybody remembers what he was doing those first 2 weeks, because in those first 2 weeks, 127 rushing yards, 28 receiving yards, had a touchdown as well. And that was really less than 2 full games because he got hurt in the second one there. He looked really dynamic during that time, and they have a very good schedule coming up. Think he could have his real breakout now over the next month or so here. Malcolm Brown, go and check out the price for Brown. His owner might be extremely disappointed after this game. Everyone expected Brown to come out, fill in for Todd Gurley, have a good outing, came away with just 40 yards in this one. And I just talked about it. That matchup with the 49ers was so difficult, about as bad as it gets. The Todd Gurley injuries, they're not going away. So Gurley could miss more time. He could miss this week. It seems like they think he's going to be back. But even still, would we be surprised if Gurley missed time down the road here? Or if he wasn't able to play this week, you know, the way they're talking about it seems like the reports are indicating he should be able to come back, but that's not guaranteed. And he could get hurt again in this game or moving forward. Those knee issues with him, the lower body stuff, it's not going away. So grabbing Brown, in my mind, is a smart move here. It's the same reason I'd be looking to stash Darrell Henderson, just in case Gurley misses more time as the season goes on. And this 49ers game was not indicative of that Rams offense. I know they've struggled. I do think that they're going to look a lot better moving forward here. Let's talk about a couple sell high candidates. Julio Jones, I can't believe I'm even saying his name in this segment, and maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should hang on to him, but I'll tell you why I'm a little bit concerned. James Bradbury of the Panthers, one of the best cover corners in the league, gets him twice the rest of the way. Marshawn Lattimore, who's been shutting guys down, gets him twice the rest of the way, including in week 14. In week 15, gets that 49ers defense that we talked about. And then possibly his week 16 game, if Jalen Ramsey comes back and does play for the Jaguars this year, he could have to go up against Ramsey in that one. So Julio's good enough to overcome all of that, absolutely, but it's less than ideal, and it's enough reason to just float him out there and see what kind of value you can get for Julio the rest of the way. Stephon Diggs, this one's pretty obvious. Over 100 yards in two of the last three games, but it's this 167-yard, three-touchdown outing that he had. This is the highlight of his season that came this past week. It's a lot based on the matchup. Don't fool yourself. Go cash in immediately with him before this offense turns back into what it actually is, which is a run-first team. That's what they're going to be the rest of the way. Don't fool yourself into thinking that this passing production is going to continue at all. The passing bonanza of the last 2 weeks, it was dictated by the receivers voicing their concern, by the matchups. So don't expect this to continue for Diggs. Sell him now. Devonta Freeman, another guy I'd be looking to sell, has at least 70 yards from scrimmage in his last four games, but don't expect that to continue. He's got some tougher matchups coming up, and the Falcons team's just headed in the wrong direction. And that has nothing to do with wanting to get rid of Julio. That's a totally different story. But with Freeman, with this team going in the wrong direction, there's not going to be as many rushing opportunities. There's not going to be as many scoring opportunities at the goal line. If they're not around the goal line, they're going to be in catch-up mode a lot. And he's been catching a lot of passes here, but it won't get much better than that Cardinals matchup they had last week. So take advantage of his value right now. Matt Breida, we all love Matt Breida. Likely the most talented back in San Francisco, but if you can cash in on that big primetime game he had 2 weeks ago on Monday night, if you can still get value from that, I would. With Coleman back, Breida's in a definite timeshare now, and that can be productive at times. We've seen him deliver, we've seen guys deliver in that kind of situation, but that running game, it's been very, very successful. But when you're not getting a huge workload, when the timeshare is split up the way it is in San Francisco right now, that limits your upside, limits your consistency for fantasy. Breida had another decent day this week, 13 carries, 4 receptions, but it resulted in just 36 yards on the ground and 27 yards through the air in that one. And he's only seeing the field on about 35% of the team's snaps since Coleman's come back here. He's not getting any goal line work. I would go see what you can get for him. Kenyon Drake's the last name I'll mention. If you can get anything for Kenyon Drake right now, I would. He just had a double-digit fantasy day. That's not going to happen very often for this Dolphins backfield. You don't really want to have to rely on anyone in this Dolphins offense, so trying to sell Drake right now is a smart move. Let's jump over to the injuries. We'll talk about really the biggest one of the week, Will Dissly. Seahawks believe he tore his Achilles. That obviously would put him out for the year. Really too bad to see for a player who lost the majority of his rookie season with a torn patella tendon last year. Now comes back. It was a different leg, but now you're talking about two very serious leg injuries. And when you're talking about torn patella tendons or Achilles issues, those are really difficult injuries to come back from. That's why it was shocking to see Dissly start off the year like he has. It's been extremely impressive. Not really a player to pivot to in that Seahawks tight end core. They just traded away Nick Vinette. Luke Wilson has never really been able to show any sort of consistency in the past when he's gotten chances. And a couple weeks ago, Luke Wilson was unemployed. So that tells you really all you need to know about him there. Really too bad for Dissly. And hopefully we'll see him back next season. I mean, he surprised us this year. Hopefully we'll see him surprise us again in 2020. Amari Cooper overcame a foot injury before the season. Now he's got a quad issue, forced him from this week's game. According to reports, he was in significant pain after the game. Fortunately, doesn't seem to be a long-term injury. Just a thigh bruise is what they're calling it. Might keep him out at least a week, which is too bad because this week's game is a really juicy matchup with that Eagles secondary who Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, pretty much every receiver that's gone up against him has killed that Eagles secondary, getting roasted every single week. It'll shift the onus over to Michael Gallup, and he's been excellent himself. another potential guy you could try to go trade for just to see if his owner doesn't realize how valuable he is right now. He's going to be on the borderline low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two range if Cooper's going to be out in this game. Then they have a bye week. So after that, Cooper should be healthy at that point, but we're going to have to keep an eye on it. Tavon Austin appears to be the next man up there. He filled out three wide sets with Gallup and with Randall Cobb last week when Cooper went out. Gallup's going to be a borderline wide receiver one, but anyone outside of Gallup, Austin, Cobb, even Devin Smith, those guys are just really low floor flex plays while Cooper's going to be out. James Conner also had a quad injury. He was having a great game, breaking tackles all over the place, carrying that offense, but suffered the quad injury, missed the final quarter of the game. Steelers were up big, so perhaps it was just a precautionary thing. They didn't need to really risk it. Steelers are on bye this week, should have him back and healthy after that. If he does miss time for whatever reason, Benny Snell would be the guy. That's because Jalen Samuels is out for a month or so with an injury of his own there. Emmanuel Sanders hurt his knee, dealt with a knee injury coming into week six, was hurt in practice, apparently re-aggravated it during the game, caused him to miss the second half, but reportedly doesn't seem to be serious on this one. That's great news. Has a chance to play. It's a short week for them. Has a chance to play Thursday night against the Chiefs. We'll be watching his practice participation all week long to see if that's true. If he's not available, Deshaun Hamilton gets a nice boost up into the wide receiver four range. Cortland Sutton, if he's not already solidified as a wide receiver two, this would definitely push him there. Couple other things to mention here. Baker Mayfield said his hip was a little bit tender after their loss to the Seahawks. He gets a bye week to rest up. Chris Thompson left with a foot injury. He didn't come back. He's an RB3 option in PPR, but if he's out, doesn't really change much for that Redskins offense. They get the 49ers, the Vikings, and the Bills all in a row here before their bye. So not looking to own any Redskins other than Terry McLaurin. Jeff Swaim, the Jags tight end, he was evaluated for a concussion. They already lost James O'Shaughnessy, so tough times for that Jags tight end room. And Marquise Lee also on the Jags. He left with a foot injury. He's week to week now. Wasn't able to put any weight on it during the game there. He's well off the fantasy radar now, though, with Dede Westbrook and DJ Shark leading that receiving core. Now let's dive into the waiver wire for this week. We have four teams on bye for week seven. The Panthers, the Browns, the Steelers, and the Bucks. So there's some legitimate stars on those teams that we're going to need to replace this week. We'll start off at quarterback. Josh Allen, 50% owned, but he gets Miami this week. Dolphins giving up the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, including multiple touchdown passes in every single game this year. Aside from the game against the Patriots, who have a tough defense, Allen got knocked out of that game too, so he didn't play the full contest. But aside from that game, he's been pretty consistent in fantasy this year. Just hasn't had that big outing yet. Definitely capable of getting it this week against Miami. They're probably going to help him get there. The Bills schedule, just outstanding coming off the bye as well. Dolphins, Eagles, Redskins the next 3 weeks. Another matchup with the Dolphins in week 11. So Allen could be your starter here for the next month or so. At least go get him if he's available. Kirk Cousins, I'm not that excited about this Vikings passing game moving forward, despite what they've done the last couple weeks, but he's 47% owned. He gets Detroit next week. No matchup out there is going to be as easy as that Eagles secondary was for them. He lit them up for four touchdowns last week, but the Lions are middle of the road in points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. That's heading into the Monday night matchup with the Packers tonight. We'll see what happens there. After that, Cousins gets the Redskins, a little revenge game. He's usable as a streamer in the next couple weeks. That really puts him on the radar in those two games, but don't be fooled by his production. The Vikings are a running team. I mentioned it earlier when we were talking about Diggs. Volume is going to be a problem long-term, but you could get another couple usable weeks out of Cousins here. Some lower owned options you can look at. Daniel Jones, he's 29% owned. He gets the Cardinals next week. They're a defense to attack in fantasy for sure. Giving up multiple touchdown passes in 5 of 6 contests, including 356 yards and 4 touchdowns to Matt Ryan last week. Jones can definitely crack your lineup in this one. And Sam Darnold, 16% owned. Now, I wouldn't push my luck and try to put him out there against the Patriots. Definitely don't do that. But you want to own him for the rest of the season. And we could feel more confident about him after this 338-yard, 2-touchdown performance against the Cowboys defense. Now, I promised a friend of mine, actually the best man at my wedding, Ryan Whittam, I promised him that I wouldn't bring up the Jets' amazing upcoming schedule for the 1,000th time on the podcast. So let's just say that Darnold's outlook the rest of the season is very solid. He's a potential fantasy starter from week 8 on. And because of this Patriots matchup, you might be able to get him on the cheap this week. At running back, Chase Edmonds, 34% owned. Whether it's because of David Johnson's back issue or just a conscious choice by that coaching staff to try to get Edmonds more involved, he's played on over 30% of the Cardinals' snaps the last 2 weeks. He's topped 60 yards from scrimmage in each of those contests, and he's found the end zone both of those weeks. So he needs to be owned in case Johnson misses time at any point, but also Edmonds is kind of flirting here with weekly flex value just himself while Johnson's playing. So he's a guy to look at. Frank Gore, 56% owned, but another guy. You want to target players going against the Dolphins. Devin Singletary is going to be back. He's going to be active and involved, but Gore will get plenty of work and they're big favorites against the Dolphins. Also kind of a revenge game for Gore there as well. Mark Walton, I mentioned him as a stash last week and start, sit, stash, quit. And that was because coming off the bye, the coaching staff said they wanted to get him more touches. And they did. Technically, he started this game, but Kenyon Drake out-touched him 16-11. Still, Walton picked up 36 rushing yards, had 43 receiving yards in the game. And you don't want to rely on Dolphins players, but Walton should be owned. He's a borderline flex player right now until we see how this shakes out in that backfield. But it's clear they want to get him more involved. You want to take a look at this point in the year as bye weeks keep passing. You want to look at stashing some of these running backs. I talked about it last week. Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison. We saw what Darrell Henderson did. That could put him on the map in that offense if Gurley's going to miss some time. Tony Pollard, Benny Snell potentially, if James Conner's going to have an issue here coming out of the bye, if that continues. I don't think it's going to, but definitely possible. Rashad Penny, Jamal Williams. There's just so many names out there. If you have open bench spots, you want to fill them up with high upside guys like that. Now for wide receivers, it's not a very good week. There's a few guys that are around 60% owned, so I won't talk much about them in the waiver wire column that's going up Monday night. Robbie Anderson, Golden Tate, DK Metcalf. If they're still out there, you're going to want to bid big, get those guys on your team. Outside of that, Jamison Crowder's 42% owned. The Jets offense was just reborn with Sam Darnold under center. So that means their skill position players have value again. Finally, they're not playing with a third string quarterback under center. And Robbie Anderson was the one that had the big day, 5 for 125 and a touchdown. But Crowder had 6 for 98. And that means in the two games that Sam Darnold's played this year, Crowder had 14 for 99 and 6 for 98. Puts him squarely into that wide receiver 3 conversation in PPR leagues. Demaryius Thomas also got in on the act in that one, 62 yards this week. Not as interested in him at all, but he'll be a risky flex play in most weeks if Darnold can keep this up, especially with those matchups they have. But outside of Crowder, there's not that many options other than just guys you might want to throw in there as potential streaming options for week 7. Auden Tate, he's going against the Jags, but he's been able to produce the last few weeks. Preston Williams, Devonta Parker. We don't know who's going to be under center for the Dolphins. Josh Rosen got pulled. They put in Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game. It's kind of strange since they said before the game that Josh Rosen was going to be the starter for the rest of the season. So they'll probably go back to Rosen in this one, but it's tough to trust anyone in that Dolphins offense. Preston Williams would be my choice out of the two if I was going to go with one of them. Cole Beasley's 15% owned. Duke Williams just 1% owned. We saw Williams get the touchdown. Then they traded away Zay Jones. Could that mean that Duke Williams is going to be a little more involved? Maybe. Also, if you're looking at just the touchdown there, it's going up against the Dolphins, so we could see him find the end zone again. And Beasley's more of a low-ceiling PPR play. Rookie Darius Slayton on the Giants. He's coming off that very tough matchup with the Patriots. That Giants offense couldn't get much going at all. He's just 3% owned in fantasy, and he gets the Cardinals this week. Sterling Shepard missing some time. Golden Tate's come in, and it looks like he's going to be the top receiver there. But with all the injuries that they have in that offense, and with the fact that Slayton has actually looked pretty good, he's worth considering as a flex. I'd say the same about Jacoby Myers. If Philip Dorsett's going to miss this week, Myers is just 1% owned, but he's the guy that steps into 3 wide sets there. They're going up against the Jets in this one. And let's finish things off with tight end. Hunter Henry, He's around 60% owned in most leagues. We saw him come back, have that really big performance. We told you last week to pick him up. I didn't think he was going to come back and have 8 catches and 100 yards and 2 scores on limited snaps, but he's right back into that top 5 tight end mix in fantasy. Dawson Knox, somebody that fantasy owners might not be thinking about at the moment because he's coming off bye, but going up against Miami, his playing time was increasing every week before that bye, and he had a disappointing result in week 5 against the Titans, but prior to that, 67 yards and a touchdown, 58 yards in the game after that, so 2 pretty good outings in week 3 and week 4. Gives you some hope there, especially when the matchup's great. And he's a streamer this week, and with their schedule, could be a player that you could get into your lineup most weeks over the next month or so here. I'll also say, Chris Herndon, I know people are upset. I've been recommending Chris Herndon for a while. We were all disappointed that he had the hamstring injury, especially with how good that Jets offense looked. Would love to see Herndon out there as well and producing against Dallas. Now, probably going to miss another week. Hamstring injuries, they can last a couple weeks. The expectation seems like he's also going to miss this matchup with the Patriots, which is a very, very tough game. It would be tough for him to come back and produce in that one anyway. So hopefully we'll get him back the week after that. Either way, he's 27% owned. You're not going to find many options that are available on the waiver wire who could give you top 10 numbers the rest of the way. So don't drop Herndon. Hang on to him. I know it's going to be another week or so, and that's not ideal, but hang on to him, and let's see what we got in a couple weeks' time and down the stretch. Not that much else at tight end this week. Noah Fant would be an option, but he hasn't really shown any consistency so far. He could take a shot on Eric Ebron or Jack Doyle, but they're really touchdown-dependent options there. The Texans tight ends are really in the same boat too. Darren Fells, 4% owned. Jordan Atkins, 9% owned. You're not going to see huge yardage from them, but they have a good shot at reaching the end zone every week just because Deshaun Watson's their quarterback and he is playing phenomenally right now. That is all for today's show. For that full breakdown of the Week 7 waiver wire options, make sure you check out my column on The Score on Monday night. Make sure you subscribe to alerts from the NFL Fantasy News section on The Score app as well. And follow me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to the Patriots defense who have outscored the next closest fantasy defense by over 70 points this season. Just absurd. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.